Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Now we're heading to the Nelson region with Cosmo Kentish Barnes. He's with Murray King, who has a small dairy farm in the lower Waimea River Flats. He tells Cosmo why he co-founded Appleby Farms, a company that uses milk from his cows to make top-shelf ice cream, just down the road in Stoke.
One of the challenges we have here is we're surrounded by intensive horticulture, we're surrounded by lifestyle blocks, so the land is reasonably expensive. And I guess the thing which has changed the most, though, is around irrigation and water reliability. And as a result of that and the completion of the Waimea Community Dam, water charges are more than they used to be. And so we had to have find a way of actually generating better income than we would by producing whole milk powder with the major dairy companies.
There's a herd of cows in the paddock in front of us. Are they yours?
They are. That's our small ice cream herd. So they have been designed or bred for the ice cream. So they're effectively a Jersey cow, but they're black or black and white.
And they are A2 cows, aren't they?
They are. They're all A2. So they have all been screened. They've had the DNA assessed when we do their parentage. And from that, we determine whether or not they have the double A2 gene.
Have you always farmed A2 cows here?
We haven't, no. Traditionally, this farm was a town milk farm, and then with the passage of time and the formation of Fonterra, one thing and another, amalgamation of dairy companies, town milk was no longer required, so we then became a seasonal supply farm here. And from that, then, we have migrated over to producing ice cream, and the A2 being a point of difference, I guess.
How many generations of your family have been farming this land?
So I'm the third generation to live here. I did have a period away, travelling the world and one thing and another, and came back here. Mm.
And when your grandparents first started farming here, I guess there would have been heaps more dairy farms around.
Well, it was all dairy farms largely, or mixed farms. And there's a farm shop just up at the corner here, Conning's Farm Shop, and that is the site of the original, or one of the original dairy factories. So it's now the edge of town. So that just shows how much things have changed. And there were probably a couple of hundred suppliers just in this area and a couple of dairy companies. So it just shows how things have changed. And we're now down to, what, 3 farms left on the plains, and they're all pretty small. There would not be 600 cows left.
And one of your neighbours is a farmer who you developed the Appleby Farms ice cream brand with.
That's exactly right. So Julian and his family, the Rain family and Oakland's Milk, they developed a fresh liquid milk vending system and home delivery and cafe business. And we thought, well, actually, we need to do a bit more, and how can we add more value to our milk? And so we spent a little bit of time researching and travelling and looking at what else we could do. And we settled on the ice cream, actually, because we thought it would be relatively easy. And most importantly, we knew somebody who knew how to make ice cream, which was quite important, which is Christy. And Julian and I both benefited from the Tohono experience, which was the New Zealand Trade and Enterprise MPI think tank, I guess you'd call, where a number of agribusiness people have been across to Stanford University and talked to the professors about marketing and various things. And one of the things we came away with from that was the importance of the story. You know, what is your unique selling point, or what is different about your product over anybody else's? And so New Zealand makes great ice cream. And we thought, well, why don't we take it to the world? And so that's the genesis of the Appleby Farm story.
Mm-hmm. Does Julian's farm provide milk as well?
No, not as such. I mean, they're busy enough supplying their own needs. But we do have another shareholder within the business who could supply milk if required.
So you started 7 or so years ago?
It's just coming up to 7 years. And we've developed a number of different products over the time as well. So it's not just ice cream we're dealing with here. We do some toll processing for other companies, and we have a number of different flavours and and skews, as they call them.
What were the biggest challenges you faced?
These things always take longer than you hope and cost more than you expect. So we actually built a factory, and steel and concrete isn't the cheapest thing to build, and plus all the machinery and the plant that's required to churn ice cream.
Yes, and we will go to see that factory a bit later on. But someone has just driven past us on a quad bike.
That's Ailey, and she's just getting the cows in for the afternoon. And because we have to produce ice cream continuously, we need to supply milk through the winter. So around 20 or 25% of these cows calve in the autumn. So some of those won't have so much milk now. And as I say, they are ice cream cows, so they have higher fat component because we want plenty of fat for ice cream.
Well, let's wander over to the milking shed. What kind of milking system do you have here?
This is a very old dairy. It's probably been on the site or a form of it for 100 or so years, and it's been modified over the years. It's now a 15-a-side herringbone shed. It's small, one-person shed. I mean, we're only milking, 170 or 180 cows at the moment. That's about all it ever gets to. So small by today's standards.
So does the milk go directly to your ice cream factory in Stoke?
Yes, it does. We've got a small tanker that comes and picks it up and trots it into town. It's about a 10-minute trip. So cow to cone, it's about every part of the process, from growing the grass to milking the cows to actually manufacturing the ice cream.
And as part of your marketing plan, sometimes you open the farm up here to the public.
We have done. It's really important, actually, that people get to see where their food comes from and to understand what it is that goes into producing it. There's a lot of assumptions that people have which are ill-founded, and unfortunately there's a vocal minority sometimes who is disparaging of farming without any good cause. And a really good day out for families and kids and what have you to come and get hands on.
The A2 herd is trundling past us. This is an immaculately clean milking shed. I'm going to take a few pictures of these cows here.
Say a few words, Ailey.
Ailey, what do you do here?
I'm a farmhand, so I milk the cows and move the K-line and feed out and just normal farm jobs.
Yes. How long have you been working for Murray?
Since about June last year.
And what do you like about this sort of work?
I like being outdoors and working with animals and milking the cows for the ice cream.
What do you do when you're not working on the farm?
I farm at home. I've got some sheep of my own and, yeah.
You didn't tell them about the pig hunting you do.
Oh, yeah.
You also do a bit of hunting?
Yeah, deer and for pigs. Mainly out Tapawera way. We just go out at, like, 9 at night, and then we've got some pig dogs as well to get the pigs.
When will the milk from today end up at the factory?
So this will be collected tomorrow morning. So about 7 o'clock they'll be in here to collect this. And then it'll be made into ice cream tomorrow. And so there's a bit going on.
Yes, and you mentioned irrigation earlier. You've been heavily involved with the Waimea Dam project, haven't you?
Yeah, so the genesis of that was the 2001 drought, where the Waimea River effectively went dry in its lower reaches, and so people said, well, that's not good enough, and we agree, and irrigators want reliable water. Everyone is conscious of the health of the environment and the river, and so the other challenge was that the council had effectively over-allocated the water resource, and so they said, well, if you want to solve this problem, you go away and find a solution. So we formed a thing called the Waimea Water Augmentation Committee, which at its time was quite unique, because not only did we have all of the stakeholders, many opposing or seemed to be opposing, in the same room, but also sitting around the same table. So it was made up of the irrigator water zone representatives, the mayors of both Nelson City and Tasman District Council, also significantly Department of Conservation, Fish and Game and iwi. And at the end of the day, everyone wants the same thing, so it was finding a solution. And we came up with the Waimea Community Dam, the Lee Dam, as the solution.
What a huge project.
It has taken over 20 years. The construction has taken a couple of years longer than it should have, and the cost has cost twice as much as it should have for a whole lot of reasons, but it's an intergenerational asset which will be there for many generations to come. In fact, it'll be there for 100 or 200 years.
It's ended up costing, what, $200 million?
It has, $200 million, close enough to it. But when you look at the benefits, what it has enabled is landowners on the plains to develop high-value uses, premium horticulture such as premium pip fruit, quality vegetables, berry fruit, etc. So it's just the face of change.
Mm, you have got some irrigators going in front of us. Where does this water come from?
All of the water, or the majority of the water on the plains, is sourced from groundwater aquifers. And so the way the dam will work is it's an augmentation project. So it stores water when there's plenty and releases it back into the river and the aquifers when it's short. And then the irrigators draw from there.
Yes. And later on this afternoon, you've got a dry task force.
A dry weather task force,
yes. A dry weather task force meeting.
Yeah, so we hold those in association with the council and water user reps. When things start to look dry, and we've done this for 20 or so years, probably 25 years, people come together and decide, well, what is the state of the river? What is the state of the aquifers? What's the weather forecast look like? What does the water demand look like? And from that, make decisions on how water rationing might be managed in a way that's going to, you know, not unduly penalise people, but look after the environment at the same time.
Ailey needs to get on with the milking, so we jump into Murray's ute and head to the creamery or ice cream factory down the road in Stoke. Peter Findlay is CEO of the ice cream business and he's keen to show me around.
So we've got our own frozen storage on site, dry storage, which you see here. The factory building over to the left, that's really going from mix making to churning and then freezing and packing. And then we're using the forklift to bring the product and store it over this side.
And the milk from the farm comes in here and gets put into these two vats that we can see.
Yeah, yep, just down the end of the building there. Yeah, if we walk down that way, we can have a look.
Now, outside the factory, you've got a few portable ice cream caravans.
Yeah, so the first sales that the company ever made were out of the caravan. I believe it might have been at one of the cricket matches in Nelson at the time.
Yes.
So we still have the caravan that we send down to Tahuna Beach over summer. It's the perfect spot to get feedback on new flavours and some of the innovation that we try and run. So it's our testing ground for that type of thing.
Yes. But how many people do you employ here at the factory?
We've got 10 full-time equivalents. And we do flex up depending on what products we're making, as high as about 25.
And how long have you been working for Appleby Farms?
So I've been here about 18 months. So in a previous life, I've worked at Fonterra and Tip Top, and then overseas at Marks & Spencer's.
Christy Giles is the flavour guru at Appleby Farms. Hello. You're having a busy day today.
Yes, it feels like a Monday and I know it's a Wednesday. But anyway, it's crazy.
What have you been doing?
A lot of production scheduling, a little bit of master file maintenance around our technical data for a new customer, and working with our production team, making sure that they've got everything they need.
Is there still some milk in these vats, or has it been used up?
Fully consumed and now cleaned in place, so that's a process that we call CIP, and that's actually happened so that everything's clean and ready to receive milk tomorrow.
Yes. Do you have a particular person who does that sort of work?
Yeah, we've got a key operator that looks after our mix blending, pasteurising and transfer.
We've just come into a large room in the ice cream factory, where you've got some quite high-tech machinery. What happens here?
Well, it's pretty sexy stainless steel. So inside this environment, we pump the milk from the raw material receival vat into the mix blending tank, and then we also add our dry ingredients. We add cream that we've separated ourselves here, and we add whole milk. Whole milk's the largest ingredient in our process. and followed by fresh cream.
Mm. So inside these two big vats are paddles?
Yes, there's agitation in there. And we also recirculate in our blending process through a pump as well.
Now, it looks like some of this machinery comes from Italy.
Yes, so this is what we did when we decided in, I think it was April of 2017, that this is what we were going to do. I started searching for bits of equipment that we needed and then assembled the team together, and then we moved out onto site at the beginning of July 2017, and we were making ice cream by the December of that year. So it was quite a project.
Yes.
And really went according to plan in terms of timing and delivery.
What is your role here?
Oh, I've had many roles. I really can't explain it. So founding shareholder, director, food technologist. So I designed the process how I wanted the factory to be laid out. Mm. Formulated the ice cream. So the original formulations was my work. And yeah, I now just look after the operations, which is essentially from the farm to the customer.
So where do you do your experimentation?
Inside the process control lab, which we'll go to in a minute. But as well as blend and mix in here, we filter, we homogenise, pasteurise. And the cycle time is normally about 2 days to go from receiving milk, mix making, and sending that mix into the ageing vessels to then actually making ice cream the following day.
Mm. Have you had any disasters along the way?
There's always disasters in manufacturing from time to time, if I'm completely honest. And so I guess really the only disasters haven't really been around formulation here, but when hoses want to let go and you've got ice cream under a bit of pressure, everyone that's ever made ice cream at great volume can appreciate how far that ice cream can go.
Yeah. Technical nightmares.
Yes, it kind of looked like someone had killed the Easter Bunny. We had chocolate on the roof.
We are walking around to the back of the large processing factory.
And into the lab.
And into the lab, where you do all your magic, I guess.
Yes, so this is where we can reproduce our production process really accurately.
What makes a great ice cream?
Well, there's lots of good things, but mostly it's fresh whole milk, lovely cream. So the quality of your dairy material is really critical. And so because we go down the road and it's about 8 kilometres down the road for us to source our fresh milk, that's an excellent starting point. And we control that process right from the get-go. So once we pick it up from the farm, single-sourced farm, then it's all ours. And then it's getting the formulation right and getting that balanced so that you've managed to, you've got to have a nice clean mouthfeel. So it's about having your fats and your solids balanced and having milk solids, non-fat, at the right proportion.
Yes, and there is air in ice cream, isn't there?
Yes, there's a technical term for that called overrun. Yep, it makes it scoopable and makes it actually able to then be palatable.
Now, I am trying some of the vanilla ice cream because I have to say I've never tried your ice creams before.
Oh, right.
So it's quite nice and firm and chunky.
And this is our vanilla bean.
Mmm, so creamy.
Mm-hmm.
It literally melts in the mouth, doesn't it?
And it doesn't leave a residue, because that's obviously what you're looking for, right? So
yep.
It needs to be warm. It's weird when you say that you want ice cream to be warm on the palate, but it needs to be warm on the palate and then not leave a fatty residue. It just means then the mix is balanced well.
Is that the challenge, getting that perfect textural combination?
Yes, that's one of the challenges. And if you've got your base mix right, then it's easy to add other flavours to it, because then you're just taking the same base mix without the vanilla.
Yep.
And then adding other things to it.
So how many flavours have you got at the moment?
15.
It's quite a lot.
Yeah, so then in different pack formats as well. Yeah, and then that doesn't include our novelties.
Yes, is vanilla still the most popular?
It seems
variety.
To be. It's the best accompaniment, isn't it?
Yeah.
And internationally, you have to have an excellent vanilla, you have to have an excellent chocolate and a great strawberry. And our vanilla ice cream was originally known as the best in category back in the 2018 Ice Cream Awards. And that really took New Zealand by storm a little bit. And we announced our arrival.
I've just tried the maple walnut ice cream. Do you get the walnuts from a local grower?
We do, actually. We source them from Canterbury Walnut Cooperative. So, yeah, they've been great. And they chop them to size because they need to be a certain size for our filler. And so they're fresh and we have great service from them.
So how did you meet Murray and Julian?
So I had a food technology consulting business here in Nelson when we arrived here back in 2003, and I met Julian through the Boysenberry Industry and Blackcurrant Cooperative. And Murray, just our kids are similar ages or same ages, and so just two families growing up in Nelson. And had a call from Julian about, hey, we've got a little bit of excess milk, what do you reckon we should do with it? And my passion is cheese. I love cheese, but also definitely know that quite a bit about ice cream, so, you know, happy to go with either of those options, and really delighted that we've managed to make this ice cream thing work.
And what's on the agenda for the rest of the week?
My week?
Yeah.
So we've been mix making today, and so tomorrow we'll be churning two different flavours of 5 litre ice cream, and then on Friday we're churning tub ice cream, so that's retail into supermarket.
Christy Giles there at the Appleby Farms ice cream factory in Stoke near Nelson. Cosmo was also talking with Peter Findlay, Appleby Farms co-founder Murray King and his assistant Ailey Gray. To see photos of the people behind today's voices, check out our webpage. The address is rnz.co.nz/countrylife, or just type RNZ Country Life into your browser.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.